world full of tragedy. Darkness everywhere you look, and sometimes the darkness so deep you don't know how to see out. One thing never changes. Now is the favorable time, because now is the day of salvation. Now is not the time for your best life. Now is not the time to avoid sin, death, and the devil reigning over this dark age, but now is the time to know that the cross of Jesus Christ has covered it all, has paid for you, and has bought the way out of this darkness and into His marvelous light. You're listening to our audio, your morning hour of prayer, meditation, and growth here on Worldwide KFUO. And in this past weekend, well, we had quite a series of events, particularly if you were living down there in the great state of Texas region. So what we're going to do right away here is offer a prayer on behalf of the very many people whose lives have been affected by Hurricane Harvey, which just kind of sat there and walloped place after place. Let us pray. We pray, O Lord Jesus, for those who have been injured and bereaved in this past weekend. We pray for families and extended family members and friends of those who know that they were in the wake of the storm and disaster. We pray for the law enforcement and the government, for public servants, investigators, counselors, hospital workers, and all who are positioned and have given their lives to respond to such catastrophes. We pray for the injured and for the bereaved. We pray for those who need your mercy. Lord Jesus, you have called us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. So at the very least now, we implore you on behalf of all of those who have been troubled by this terrible storm, that you would bring them grace, strength, and care according to your will, both in this first article world, in the world in which you give us masks and hands to serve us on your behalf, and also, of course, Lord, by means of your word and sacrament. When aimless violence takes those we love, when random death strikes childhood's promise down, when wrenching loss becomes our daily bread, we know, O God, you leave us not alone. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. For the last few moments here, we're going to keep doing what we always do and slide right into today's psalm, which, you know, and the prayer kind of said this, but it is a reality that I should just mention again, right? That it shouldn't be a surprise when tragedy happens. It really shouldn't. It does strike us. I mean, this is even for the Christian who is well-versed in the futility of this age, that meaningless, it's all meaningless, and it's all going to come crashing down. Even then, the flesh is still always shocked when it comes and strikes close to home, especially when we've been able to set up some good barriers and securities for ourselves. And so it's easy to ask, where is God in this? How could he allow such a thing to happen? And the answer in brief is he didn't so much allow it as we did it. We broke the world. And when you break the world, nature goes with it. And so the world continues to be broken. Well, why does he let it continue to be broken? Because he wants to save you from it. And if he were to send it all into burning fire where it deserves to go, well, before he got to you with his word about Jesus, well, then you would go into that fire too. So it is for the sake of his extended mercies, for his the ongoing election of you by the cross of Jesus, that he allows the evil to remain, in order that he might turn that evil into the good of your salvation. So today is the day of salvation for you and for all. So great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, even when things are dark. I love Psalm 48, the language here about the stronghold of Zion, right? The city of our God, it says in verse 1, his holy mountain. In verse 2 describes this, the citadel set on a hill, this unbreachable fortress, beautiful in elevation, the joy of all the earth, Mount Zion in the far north, city of the great king. It makes me think of the Lord of the Rings and Gondor, this rising pinnacle of a tower that had seven walls and seven gates and could not be breached. I gotta believe that J.R.R. Tolkien had Zion in mind and some of the language from the scriptures in mind as he was penning his description of that. Look at her citadels, the psalmist says. God is made known here as a fortress. And this is the great thing, too, about Zion. Ultimately, it wasn't that Zion was just so great by itself. It was a pretty phenomenal city. You look at it, it's a great place to defend. But on top of that, when you have the living God living in a box in the city who comes out in fire and wrath with angel hosts against anyone who would come against it, I mean, you're doing pretty well, right? You got everything that you need. Now, this was a physical reality for the Israelites. They got to see this. And when Assyria brings its troops and the Rabshakeh stands outside the gates and said, who's going to defend you? Yahweh? Yahweh's like, you better believe it. And Rabshakeh gets sent running home and all his troops are dead by the next morning. Wouldn't it be nice to have that happen when you see a hurricane coming your way? But see, this is just it. Everything that was done physically in that Israelite age is a glimmer, a picture of what's happening spiritually now and always, which is far more important. It's so easy for us. We think the physical thing is the thing that's important. No, it's not. Do not fear he who can take your body, who can take your life in this age. Right? Fear, love, and trust the one who has power over body and soul, over the life of the age to come. The spiritual warfare that's going on right now is so much more important, so much more real than our physical situation. Whatever that might be, good or bad. And there's dangers on both sides, that in the good, I would forget my God and think I have it all from my own hand. And then in the bad, I would despair and so curse God and say, why have you done this to me? Both sides hold danger for the flesh because the flesh hates God no matter what. Christianity comes along and says there is a different reality. It preaches into you a different reality, which is that this life is indeed broken, that we broke it, that Jesus has fixed it. And this city of the great king, it's not a city on a hill over in the Holy Land. It's the body of Jesus. It's the body of Jesus himself, crucified for you and risen from the dead. Look at him. Mount Zion, glorious in elevation, even ascended to the right hand of the Father. His citadel, his unbreachable body, still holding the scars, but unable to ever die again. The kings of the earth assembled together against him, right? All nations crucified him. Three languages written over his head. They were astounded. Trembling took hold of them, right? The language is really about the armies coming against Jerusalem. But, hear it as about those surrounding and watching the death of the Christ, your Lord. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts and the city of our God, which God will establish forever. Indeed, Jesus' resurrected body is established forever as the new humanity, having fixed this broken world in himself, so that while the broken world continues to go on in its brokenness, he reigns over it all, lives far above it all, and is bending it all, moving it all, spinning it all for one purpose, which is not to give you protection from pain in the present moment. It's to give you salvation from all of it on the last day, which means keeping you in the faith in him, keeping you in trust in him, keeping you believing that no matter how dark it gets now, his light is greater. And it's not a light you see, it's a light you believe, right? You have seen and you believe, he says to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's where we are. That's what tragedy reminds us of. This is how tragedy reminds us of our blessedness. Not that the tragedy is awesome. It's not. It's awful. And for that reason, when you sit there in the midst of it and remember, but my Lord Jesus Christ has me in the palm of his hand. He will work this for good, whether it's in the present or simply keeping me in the faith for the day of salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen and alleluia. Lord, have mercy. That is a greater power than anything else the world knows or can know, has seen or can see. And it only happens when tragedy strikes, whether it's big or small. It only happens when the suffering is there. Count it all comfort, my brothers, when you face these trials of many kinds, because you know that this trying of your faith, this tribulation that you endure, is there to strengthen your faith in the words which have been preached to you about Jesus overcoming it all on your behalf. And don't miss this. I don't want to end without remembering to tell you this part, right? This citadel, this body, this fortress, this unbelievable, unassailable God, Jesus of Nazareth. He now is not merely up in heaven, but as just yesterday, or perhaps a week ago, depending on your congregation, just recently joined with you in flesh and blood to demonstrate to you that you are one with him and he is one with you, and that even as he is risen from the dead and can never die again, so your body is now conjoined with his in that resurrected reality. You are seated with him in the highest heavens at the right hand of the Father. You are the body of Christ because he's made you so. You are then, therefore, light in the midst of darkness, not by yourself, but by the words you believe, which the Spirit has breathed into your heart, and which you now are free to breathe back out again from your own lips. Telling this world of darkness, get as dark as you want. You can't overcome the light of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Oratio, your morning hour of prayer here on Worldwide KFUO. Sharper Iron coming up next. It's time to rock.